Welcome. You're listening to Latin Waves with your hosts, Sylvia and Stuart Richardson. Latin Waves is more than just hot rhythms. This is a show about community, about creating a culture that is inclusive and based on fairness. Because everyone deserves dignity, respect, and has something to contribute. A new world is possible, and it all starts with us.
More black people, just by itself, there are more black people locked up in this country than anywhere in the world, and more black people, as some have pointed out, locked up right now in the United States than were held in the prison systems of South Africa at the height of apartheid, where black people there made up 87% of the population, and here we're not even 13, 14%.
That's the voice of Dr. Jared Ball. On this week's show, we speak to Dr. Ball about the ongoing colonial process and how African and Latino Americans are overrepresented in the prison system, and how he is resisting and encouraging others to resist in his new book, I Mix What I Like. So stay tuned.
This track is not an attack upon the American people. It's an attack upon the system within which they live. Since 1945, the United States has attempted to overthrow more than 50 foreign governments. In the process, the U.S. has caused the end of life for several million people and condemned many millions more to a life of agony and despair. The strength of your dreaming prevents you from reason. The American dream only makes sense if you're sleeping. It's just a cruel fantasy. Their politics took my voice away, but their music gave it back to me. The land where they're lumping are consumed by consumption, killing themselves to shovel down food in abundance. I guess a rapper from Britain is a rare voice. America is capitalism on steroids. Natives kept in casinos and reservations. Displaced slaves never given reparations. Take everything from Native Americans and wonder why I call it the racist experiment. Afraid of your melanin, the same as it's ever been. That ain't gonna change with the race of the president. I see imperialism under your skin tone. You could call it Christopher Columbus syndrome.
Is it a one station or an abomination? Is it a one station or an abomination? Is it a one station or an abomination? Doesn't make any difference when they form your nation. Is it a one station or an abomination? Is it a one station or an abomination? Is it a one station or an abomination? Doesn't make any difference when they form your nation.
The world's entertainer, the world's devastator. From Venezuela to Mesopotamia. Your cameras lie cause they have to hide the savage crimes committed on leaders that happen to try and nationalize eating competitions while the world's been starving. Beat up communism with the help of Bin Laden. Where would your war of terror be without that man? Every day you create more Nidal Hassans. Killer man from the military, you're a weirdo. A killer wog from the Middle East, you're a hero. Your country is causing screams that never reach your ear holes. America inflicted a million ground zeros. Follow the dollar and swallow your humanity. Soldiers committing savagery you never even have to see. Those mad at me writing emails angrily. I'm not anti-America, America is anti-me.
Is it a bomb station or an abomination? Is it a bomb station or an abomination? Is it a bomb station or an abomination? Doesn't make any difference when they bomb your nation. Is it a bomb station or an abomination? Is it a bomb station or an abomination? Is it a bomb station or an abomination? Doesn't make any difference when they bomb your nation.
I don't care if Cheney, I lost relations. What matters more is the policies. I lost my patience. Stop debating, bringing race into the conversation. Occupation and cooperation equals profit making. It's over, people wake up from the dream now. Nobel Peace Prize, Jay-Z on speed dial. It's the substance within, not the color of your skin. Are you the puppeteer or the puppet on the string? So many believed it was instantly gonna change. There was still Dennis Ross, Brzezinski and Robert Gates. What happened to Chaz Freeman? What happened to Tristan Anderson? It's a machine that keeps that man breathing. I have the heart to say what all these other rappers aren't.
Words like Iraq, Palestine, Afghanistan.
The war's on and you morons were all wrong. I call Obama a bomber cause those are your bomb. Your bomb, your bomb.
That is the incredible lyrics and music by Loki, a wonderful rap singer, song artist from the UK. I just came across him recently and I'm just totally in love. Someone else who has really spoken to the inequality and injustice that is predominant within not only the legal system but also the structures within our society is my next guest, Dr. Jared Ball. He is an associate professor of communication studies at Morgan State University and the author of I Mix What I Like, a Mixtape Manifesto. Very happy to have you on our program. Thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Now, talking about the structures of the capitalist system and how it magnifies the poverty that we see around us, but also that this poverty has a cost, that cost is revealed in the increased number of people who are incarcerated, in the increased number of people who are facing mental illnesses, obesity, all the different repercussions of living in a highly inequitable society. I'd like to focus on how this inequality almost concentrates on the African American population and Latino population within the state. How would you describe the conditions that African Americans and Latinos are forced to live within the current crisis?
Well, I mean, in general, I describe the situation like many others have historically as the result of a continuing process of colonization, that the same imperial forces that evolved into the development of the world as we know it now, all the countries in general, the names, the geographic borders, and so on, have all been created. The names of people, the places they live, have all been created by this process of imperialism that continues to this day, and it creates colonies, colonies and subjects as opposed to democracies and citizens. So that's how, you know, I and others try to describe the broader process. And what this does is creates a situation where, in the modern sense, in the contemporary moment at least, this manifests itself in many ways, which include, chief among them, the mass incarceration and over-policing of the colonized, or in this case, of African and Latin American population. So what we have is a situation where there's a direct link that many have drawn, Angela Davis, Lawrence Bobo, and many others have drawn a direct link from the plantation enslavement that is most commonly known and understood in this, at least known or to some extent understood in this country, to the mass incarceration of mostly black and now Latin American people, with black women being the fastest segment, the segment of the population most quickly and most increasingly going to prison. So now you have a situation where if you count all the people in the prison system and all of its extended variations, you have more people in the prison system today than were held officially as slaves on plantations at the height of enslavement. And when we look at this country being the number one incarcerator in the world, more black people, just by itself, there are more black people locked up in this country than anywhere in the world, and more black people, as some have pointed out, locked up right now in the United States than were held in the prison systems of South Africa at the height of apartheid, where black people there made up 87% of the population, and here we're not even 13-14%. So, and yet numerically speaking, not just percentage of population, there are more black people incarcerated here now than at the height of apartheid South Africa. So what I and many others, and more so than me, in fact, have tried to do is highlight that this is a necessary component to the political economy of the country. And though it's mostly held in invisibility, even among the more progressive elements of our communities, it still is a key central factor. And then as reports are starting to come out now, the over-policing of Latin Americans has become essential to the political economy of the country as well, where states and private entities and corporations depend on the massive roundup of Latin American people. And I heard recently that there was, it was reported that there are roughly 35,000 Latinos and Chicanos rounded up every day in this country and put into one form or another of detention. And when you realize that this, is, again, is part of the necessary functioning of the economy of the country, and certainly to the political and social apparatus that has been imposed, it takes on another frightening and, I think, serious impact. It becomes so serious and severe in its impact that to the extent that we don't address it, to the extent that we don't organize around it and destroy it, we suffer. And then so when we see things like the Pelican Bay strike going on right now and other efforts that have taken place, the one in Georgia last year, where prisoners of all racial backgrounds are trying to unite and unify, and as we approach the month of August, which some of us commemorate as Black August, where the prison reform movement was born out of the struggles led by George Jackson in 1970 until his assassination in 71. you know, we want to commemorate and highlight this as much as possible and remind people that this is a major issue that so few really are prepared to deal with. Again, I have to say that chief among them, the progressive left in this country, does not want to take on this issue, does not see it as a bright line issue in the way that I think and I think that you think and many others think it should be.
One of the things that I wanted to address is how this issue has been put in the backdrop primarily because we have come to believe that we live in a colorblind world, that there is no longer any kind of racism. We have a black president in the White House, so obviously we've transcended racism. But I would argue that we need to look at the compounded impact of racism, gender, and economic discrimination as the linchpin that maintains this inequality so entrenched and so almost invisible, because we are being taught constantly to see the world through a particular lens. Some of my co-workers, when I raised the issue, says, well, obviously, if someone's being arrested, they did something wrong. How would you describe this attitude? Because I think it also happens among our own communities where people blame the victim themselves and they said, you know, well, I'm black and I've never been to jail. And suddenly we create this division that, you know, this individualistic notion of the world of we making better choices rather than seeing the structural conditions that lead people to make certain ill-fated choices.
I agree. I mean, I think that, you know, this is again why I have chosen and others have chosen preferably as a way of our own preference to describe the situation in terms of colonialism, because I think that it more appropriately encompasses all the different kinds of oppression that you just outlined and prevents us from being taken in by the color of appointed leadership. So there's a long history of neo-colonial selection of members of the colonized community to rule indirectly over that community for the imperial power. So some of us, from the time he became the popular figure he now is, saw President Obama as just that, a neo-colonial appointed representative of the imperial power, the dominant power, to carry out its goals. And I think if people look honestly and closely at what's been happening since his election, they'll see that this point has been more than well proven time and time again by his behavior and his decisions. Well, similarly, this allows us to reject any false notions of advance and progress and post-race, even post-modern claims that often accompany these kinds of surface-level changes. And please forgive me, the second part of your question.
Well, I wanted to address how this becomes internalized among the affected population.
Right, right, right.
So black and Latino start to blame each
That's
other.
Right. Well, this is also part of the process of colonization where, again, when certain segments of the colonized are targeted for certain levels of reward and benefit and, you know, promotion, et cetera, they accept it. And through processes of assimilation, through education, through rewards, financial and others, many are cajoled into false senses of improved and progressive change. The other thing that also happens is that we, as you said, we do tend to see things individually, and we have to, and I'm going to bastardize her quote here, but Lorraine Hansberry once had a brilliant statement about not allowing the abstraction to destroy the reality of the situation of the greater community. And I didn't do her quote service, but her point was that, just as you said, that your ability or my individual ability to a certain degree relatively overcome some of these oppressive conditions does not in any way speak to the collective conditions faced by a majority of the community. So it doesn't matter that I may have been able to achieve what is called a middle-class status. The issue is what has happened to the greater collective. And if you look at the condition of the greater collective, even since just the election of President Obama, empirically speaking, objectively speaking, materially speaking, the conditions have worsened. We have less access to health care than we did in 2010, just in the last year. We have no improvement in the gaps of income between black and white workers. Black people still make 53 cents on the dollar, on the white dollar. We've seen no closing in the gaps between rich and poor in general. In fact, they've widened. And certainly we've seen no slowing down of the massive deportation of black and brown people, not out of the country, but into what Larry Bobo called the internal colonies of the prison system. And also, you know, Michelle Alexander made this point well, too, that in many cases this is an issue of class, that black and brown, middle and upper class, to the extent that it's even possible and properly defined, to the extent that we make it to those stations in life, we tend to turn away from the so-called rabble of the average member of our community who may, in fact, be finding him and herself in some form of incarceration. So, again, we are encouraged to turn our backs on our own communities, and this is, of course, a colonial process. And what Kwame Nkrumah accurately called years ago, he described, just to tie it into what you were saying earlier about capitalism, he said capitalism is domestic colonialism or internal colonialism. So capitalism as an economic model does this. The broader function and necessity of colonizing groups of people requires this. This has, of course, been long discussed and struggled around. Most famously, he is always referred to in this case where Du Bois talks about a talented tenth. But rarely do people remind audiences that he later came back and said the talented tenth, as he described it, was not working, because he said that the goal was not to have a segment of the community go off, quote-unquote, succeed, and then turn their backs on the rest of their people. He said we need, in fact, a guiding 100th, a smaller group who would take their station in life and improved conditions and actually use them to benefit the people. So, again, to the extent that those of us who, quote-unquote, make it don't turn around and then try to bring people with us or make points about the structure itself or see it as some sort of individual achievement, which, again, allows for this myth of the underclass to survive, where people are said to be poor because of their own poor choices, their own behavior, their own inability to save money, and et cetera, all these ridiculous and inexcusable and indefensible reasons for claiming poverty exists and inequality exists. Instead of addressing those issues, too many of us turn our backs, and then particularly with this issue of incarceration, which is so frightening, so distorted in public consciousness through media and films, and as you said, followed up by the propaganda of, well, you're only incarcerated because you've done something. Because of all of this, we see the situation worsening, and at the end of the day, we end up hurting ourselves more and more, because all of us would end up doing much better if all of us were free of the kind of horrific inequality and oppression that so many have to suffer. So instead of seeing it as a situation where they have to suffer so I can make it, we should be seeing it as because they suffer, I'm not able to make it any more than I am. And were we all not suffering this kind of imposed inequality, all of us would be doing far better.
One of the things that I think you're rightly to focus on incarceration is that it legitimizes the overt use of authority with impunity, and it legitimizes, naturalizes the use of violence, which I think this is what it is when you withdraw someone's freedom, the right to move, and not only impact their lives forever after, right? I mean, someone goes to jail, it doesn't end there. They get out of jail, they can't get a job, they can't participate, right. All of those things. So talk a little bit about our need to not only become aware of Black August and realize that there are movements on the ground that we can become part of, that we can link up and stand in solidarity and transform our society.
You know, I think it, particularly as we come to the month of August, that we should commemorate the struggles that have produced the limited amounts of freedom we all have. You know, people point that the month of August was when the Nat Turner Rebellion took place, and I think I want to say the Prosser and Vesey Rebellions, at least one of the other two, but also it was, you know, the birth month of Marcus Garvey, the struggles and the assassinations of Jonathan and George Jackson, and many others, and then of course this prison reform movement that emerged out of it. I think it's something that we should all point to and learn more from, and at imixwhatilike.com people can hear for free the 2006 George Jackson mixtape we made and find links to other information about Black August. I also have to say that if they are kind enough to purchase my book, I Mix What I Like, a mixtape manifesto, which is about the rap music mixtape and colonialism and media and politics and anti-colonial emancipatory journalism, all the royalties I make from that book will go to support networks for political prisoners. among them the Jericho Movement, which people can find links to on our website as well, and they can learn more about political incarceration and the strategies and struggles engaged all around the world to end that, and they can learn more about the political prisoners themselves. And we encourage that they do so. And we also have a great video up there on our website at imixwhatilike.com about the relationship between the music industry and the prison industry, where some of the points that we touched on today are fleshed out in greater detail, not only about the politics and the political economy of mass incarceration, but the relationship that the music industry has to encouraging not only that people engage in criminal behavior, but that they are seen as criminals and then treated as criminals. Because that's another element we really didn't touch on today that does need to be considered, that how do you define crime? And how do you define who is to be policed and who is to be given adequate legal representation and so on and so forth? And similarly, what is the role of the prison in this society? And as others have made the point quite well, we argue that the role of the prison is ultimately about caging potentially threatening populations that have been made useless by changes and transformations in industry, but also have remained and have been defined as subhuman because of the initial interaction that we continue to suffer from with this country, which is one of enslavement and again colonization. So I invite people to check it out, whether or not they use my book as a way in or other people's work as a way in is really immaterial, just as long as they get into the struggle, get into this discussion as much as possible, and raise as many questions within their communities as possible about the nature of incarceration, its function in this society, and what its usefulness really is in so-called improving this country.
Thank you again so much for being with us. I'm going to play your promo video and parting, and I just wanted to give us some inspiration. What inspires you to keep struggling against what seems to be all around us, you know, and over an uphill battle day in, day out?
You know, I mean, I'm inspired by, and I don't mean this to sound at all, cliche or pie-eyed, but I mean, I'm actually inspired by, in many ways, by the people who continue to work and struggle like yourself. And others in the media and activist community. I'm inspired by the strength that you and others provide the rest of us, and I'm incredibly moved by it and think that I at least need to do what little I can to contribute to it. But I think more than anything, I'm inspired by the fact that these conditions still exist. And I think that's the main issue that people have to become more comfortable with and accepting of, that these conditions and horrific relationships still exist. And again, while I and my immediate family may be able to avoid the worst ravages of it, that's irrelevant to the fact that many can't, and that those relationships still exist. And while that oppression still exists, the minimum I can do is use what little freedom I do have to at least raise these as issues of concern and encourage people to get involved. I mean, it's really a bare minimum, and I truly believe that, and am reminded of that whenever I think about how little has changed and how much more needs to be done.
Thank you so much for being with us. Once again, how can people access your book, I Mix What I Like?
The easiest way is just to find us online at imixwhatilike.com, and check us out. Be in contact. Of course, buy the book. Get all the other free stuff on the website they'd like to get. And feel free to be in touch with me and my colleagues if they have any responses or follow-up, anything they want to follow up with us on. And by the way, just very quickly, I think it's also important to remember in terms of this absence of change that as long as these political prisoners exist, as long as Mumia Abdul-Jamal and Leonard Peltier and Sundiata Okoli and Assata Shakur are still in exile in Cuba, as long as these people still are locked up, it's proof that we have not had the change in the society that most of us claim we want, and that certainly they were struggling for us to get. So the struggle continues, and like Fred Hampton used to say, to you we say peace, as long as you're willing to fight for it.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
I mix what I like. A mixtape manifesto. Check for us in the streets or at imixwhatilike.com.
Feel mixtapes is the way I speak. Mixtapes is the way I communicate. Mixtapes is like my radio. It's like my show. It's like my TV show.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe, and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad.
Push pins, pass paper, one was written works, they erase everything on earth. God goes inside toolbox to hurt, treat subjects like dirt, don't learn, won't work. Don't till, won't sow, just reap. Don't cook, won't serve, just eat. Don't live, won't help, just sleep. Pump poison on streets, pump possessions on beasts. Bust guns at bitch niggas, see cops and turn cheek. Watch God separate the strong from the weak. Place gun at palm, practice what I preach. Rap is whack, kill for blood, not meat. My valley, they peak. System is in of me. In me is yearn to be free. I will, you'll see, we'll win, you'll see.
I don't want you to protest, I don't want you to ride, I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being, God damn it, my life has value.
Swore said sing songs, so I swing the right wrongs. Recall in arms, blood pour, breath and lungs. Pain in verse and love in balm. We fight to death, let a 23rd psalm. We fear not death, see the end shall come. When the ski mask on, we leave no crumbs. David X. Arrived, really running, Ray Gun. And Barry Obama can't be this dumb. Whether Iraq, E, or the Viet Cong. Know that wrong is wrong, from dusk to dawn. The fat lady has begun. Her song and my response is to aim my gun. Put my faith in God and his son. Holy Spirit make three yet they are one. We not free and we not done. And since we fighting, no, the war stays on.
That was the promo before the book, I Mix What I Like. It's a fantastic book. We have come to the end of our program. Latin Waves is a weekly syndicated program available to campus and community radios. Please visit our website, www.latinwavesmedia.com, to hear previous shows, connect to our media projects, and access other resources, or to support our efforts by making a safe PayPal contribution. I am Sylvia Richardson. Thanks for listening.